Learn a little bit about the question of whether or not one should drink the Sheva Brachos cup during Shal Shudas. This happens, of course, every single Sheva Brachos is always a Shabbos. That's how, by definition, every Sheva Brachos lasts 7 days long. So that means inevitably there's going to be Shabbos Sheva Brachos. So what's the practice at Shal Shudas? So it starts off in the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Kufei that we learned together that one may not drink or eat before Havdalah, right after Shal Shudas. So then you're allowed to eat Shal Shudas before Shkia. But once Shal Shudas is over, so then you can't eat anymore until you've made Havdalah. The only exception is you're allowed to drink water, but in terms of eating and drinking, you're not allowed to eat. That's what the Gemara tells us. So as a side point, it's very important to know that if a person didn't have Shal Shudas yet, right, the Shulchan Aruch paskens that you can't eat anything after Shkia. Let's say a guy didn't have Shal Shudas and Shkia comes. Does that mean you can't fulfill the mitzvah of Shal Shudas? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, in the Siman Reish Tzadi Tes, he says, even though ideally a person should wash, begin eating before Shkia, when it comes to Shal Shudas, the person did not yet have Shal Shudas, he says, Bevadai tzarech le'echol afil achar Shkia. A person should eat, he should wash, and have Shal Shudas after Shkia. Now, how much longer after Shkia may one go? And the Mishnah Berurah says until a half an hour before Teis HaKochavim. Why half an hour before Teis HaKochavim? Because the reason why one may not eat after Shkia is because now we're entering into the time of performing a mitzvah. Whenever there's a mitzvah at hand, you're not allowed to have a suda. B'dikas chametz. We all know, we learn the halacha, no meals until you've done B'dikas chametz. Chanukah, you're not allowed to eat until you lit the candles. There's a general concept that one may not eat before doing a mitzvah. So Teis HaKochavim is a mitzvah of Sheing Shema. Teis HaKochavim is a mitzvah of Havdalah. So 30 minutes prior to that, you can't have any meals.
But it's only 35 minutes between Shkia.
Depends what shir you're going with. So whatever that might be. So it could be only 5 minutes, depending what the shir of Havdalah, of Teis HaKochavim is. It could be 5, it could be 20, it could be 30 minutes. Depending if you hold Rabbeinu Tam, it's going to be 42 minutes you have. So you have up until 30 minutes before Teis HaKochavim. That's just important halacha to know. The Dirshu does point out not all the posts were so excited about this. In Yushalayim, apparently the practice is not to eat at all after Shkia. If Shkia hits, you should not wash. I don't know what the practice is amongst the various kehilos, but the Mishnah Berurah certainly says in Chutz La'aretz, one is allowed to wash and have Shal Shudas after Shkia until 30 minutes prior to Teis HaKochavim. Fine. So what happens, the big question is, that when it comes to Shal Shudas in general, forget Shabbat Brachos. Shal Shudas downstairs on a regular Shabbos. So we bench, and Rav Weinberg has his cup. Is he allowed to drink? Is he allowed to? Should he say a bracha hagafen and drink a lakos, or should he not? So the Shulchan Aruch writes that when it comes to benching, a person should bench, and then he should. He doesn't describe drinking. He just says you should bench a lakos. So should you drink that kos, or should you not drink the kos? And the Magid of Ram writes that it's mutter to drink that kos. A person benches Shal Shudas, how could you drink? Isn't it usher to eat after Shkia? You already bench, you decide you're not eating anymore. So now, by me drinking, isn't that me violating the drinking before the Havdalah? And so the Magen Avraham explained that drinking of the wine is a continuation of the benching. It's really part of the same meal. And therefore, you're allowed to drink at Shal Shudas. But he points out, those who, in general, don't bench a la kos are not allowed to drink. I imagine most people here don't bench in general a la kos. I'm not sure the last time I benched on a kos other than at a Shal Shudas here. Sometimes if there are 10 people, 10 men, they like to, people are machbid to bench a la kos. But a person in general doesn't bench a la kos and doesn't drink a la kos at a regular benching, so you shouldn't do this Shal Shudas either. So that's the halacha, I think, of most people. They do not drink, they have a kos for Shal Shudas, but they don't say a gafen, and they do not drink. So now, are things going to change once we introduce Sheva Brachos? If it's a Shabbos Sheva Brachos, then there's going to be Sheva Brachos at Shal Shudas. So now, the practice is to say Sheva Brachos for the Chasan and Kala, but does that mean we should drink the Chasan and Kala? Should they drink their Sheva Brachos cup? And does that mean the Mevarech should also drink? Or should only Chasan and Kala drink and not the Mevarech? So how does that play out? And it always happens, because again, this is a frequent event, and no one really knows what to do. It's just like no one really knows what to do when it comes to an irregular Sheva Brachos, how to mix the wine together. And it's always like one guy, I know what to do, and he takes the wine, he mixes, he doesn't know what he's doing, he's making some mixture of, so no one really knows halacha. It's a very simple, straightforward halacha that we're going to learn right now. Now, before we get to that halacha, we have to still raise the question, should one be saying Sheva Brachos at Shalosh Shudas in the first place? Does it really warrant a Sheva Brachos? So those were the sources I gave out yesterday. So let's go through some of them quickly. And the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Zayin Mabeis tells us that in order to say Sheva Brachos, one has to have Panim Chadashos. Firstly, you need 10 people, and it has to be Panim Chadashos, which means a person who has not been there beforehand, a person who has not celebrated in any of the other previous Sheva Brachos. So that's Panim Chadashos. If he's at a chasna, he does not qualify either.
That's what I'm saying. So yeah. It's not just
exactly. Chasna even more so, and if not even the other Sheva Brachos. We're going to get to at the end what person was present at the Sheva Brachos but was not present at the eating of the meal at the chasna. Is that going to qualify as Panim Chadashos? So we'll get to that at the very end of this piece. But right now, the Gemara tells us you need to have Panim Chadashos. New faces must be there. So the Tosos is Mechadesh, that Shabbos does not require Panim Chadashos. Why not? So he says, because since the idea of Panim Chadashos is to bring more simcha to the chasan and kala, and on a Shabbos meal they're going to add more food, there's going to be more meat and more chicken and more kugels and everything and chillin, so all that's going to come, you don't need a new guy to make them happy. The chasan and kala are happy because of Shabbos meal itself. You don't need another person to be there. And therefore, Shabbos itself brings a certain level of simcha to the chasan and kala. And there's no need for Panim Chadashos. The Rajba says differently. The Rajba says, no, you need Panim Chadashos. But don't make yourself crazy. You don't have to go invite someone because Shabbos meals, Mistama, a lot of people are coming to the Shabbos meal. You're going to have a new guy, a new Panim Chadashos anyway, so don't go out of your way to look for one. It's pretty safe to assume someone new is going to show up. Now, what if someone new doesn't show up? I don't know if the Rajba would allow. If you know, let's say it's only family invited to the Sheva Brachos, I don't know if the Rajba would necessarily say that you can say Sheva Brachos. But according to Tosfos, no, Shabbos alone, because the food that's being served, that alone, even if it's the same exact people that were there before him, that Shabbos alone serves as Panim Chadashos. Fine. So those are the two explanations why and how Shabbos serves as Panim Chadashos. So it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes in Evan Ezer, Simon Samech Beis, that Shabbos doesn't need Panim Chadashos, nor does Yantav Rishon or Yantav Sheni. Those don't need Sheva Brachos, Panim Chadashos. Now, just to be clear here, when it says Yantav Rishon, Yantav Sheni, it doesn't mean Yantav Acharon. You can't have Sheva Brachos on the last day of Yantav. It's impossible. Because you can't get married on Yantav or Chol Hamoed. It means you got married beforehand. And the Sheva Brachos only last 7 days. So they'll never make it to the Yom Acharon, Shvi Shapesach, or Shmini Atzeres. So it means the Yantav Sheni means the second day of the first days, and Yantav Sheni Shogalios. So if a person gets married right before Pesach, let's say, or right before Sukkot, so or right before Shavuos, so then a person those Yantav days don't require Panim Chadashos because Yantav itself serves as Panim Chadashos just as Shabbos does. But then he says this is all true, writes the Shulchan Aruch, when it comes to the Friday night meal and the Shabbos morning meal. When it comes to Shalosh Shudas, he says, it doesn't work. Shalosh Shudas does not serve as Panim Chadashos. You need to have your own Panim Chadashos for Shalosh Shudas. Why? It's a different explanation. One is because people don't really serve a lot of food during Shalosh Shudas. So it's a lesser type of Suda. And therefore, you need to have Panim Chadashos. And without that, you should not be saying Sheva Brachos at Shalosh Shudas. And the Mechaber writes, that is the minhag. The practice amongst the Sfardim, apparently, is that they do not say Sheva Brachos at Shalosh Shudas unless there are actual Panim Chadashos. The Rama writes, however, nowadays amongst the Ashkenazim, that we do say Sheva Brachos during Shalosh Shudas, even without Panim Chadashos, and explains two reasons. Either because, as we said in the Rajba, Mishim de Ragilim Lava Panim Chadashos. You have a big Shal Shudas in the Shul for the Chasan and Kala. Likely someone new is going to show up that wasn't at the end of the previous Sheva Brachos. That's his first explanation. And therefore, it's safe to assume one may say Sheva Brachos at Shal Shudas. Or he suggests because they would darshan. The Chasan or the Rabbi or someone, the Baal Bas, would darshan. So that drasha serves as Panim Chadashos. That's a chiddush. So, how does that work? How does the drasha serve as Panim Chadashos? So we discuss this a little bit. What?
With the Zimun.
With the Zimun, exactly, very good. The Gemara, what he's referring to is, the Gemara in Brachos tells us, has a Havamina, that two Tamidei Chachamim that are sitting down, eating together, that they can make a Zimun. Two people. How do two people make a zimun? So the Torah Rush explained, because when two people are sitting learning and being mechadish Torah, those chidushe Torah are considered people. They're considered the toldos, the person's offspring. So Tosas Rush, this is a Rishon who writes this, that's how you explain the Gemara. Two people sitting, by them learning, that creates a person. So by you darshaning, that could create a panim chadashos. That's a chiddush here. This only works right. This hatter we only found on Shabbos, correct. The Gemara is talking about even during the weekday.
The chesed for somebody should also count.
What? It's sure that there is a day like that. It could be, maybe. I wonder. So do a chesed, pour some coke for the guy next to you. Maybe that works. The Rav Yosef Engel actually has a tremendous chiddush. Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samech Beis, the famous Gemara Ben Azai never got married, and they all wonder how could he get married. What about Peruvu? So Rav Yosef Engel explains based on this concept that since he learned so much, those chiddush Torah were the toldos. Those were his children. Those were his talmidim. That's how that Rav Yosef Engel explains this. So that's the Ramah writes here that by darshaning during Shal Shudis, that becomes the panim chadashos. So that's the practice amongst Ashkenazim to actually have Shabbat brachos during Shal Shudis, even if there isn't panim chadashos. Ramami Pano, the Pishka Tshuva quotes from the Ramami Pano that al pi the Zohar, one should that Shal Shudis is considered panim chadashos. That's based on Shal Shudis being actually the highest meal. Often we think Shal Shudis is like the worst meal, stuffing your face, trying to get some challah in you. It's not, there's no meat being served. But really, al pi Kabbalah, Shal Shudis is the highest of all the meals. Now, Lamaisa, the Aruch HaShulchan says that. He says that we can rely on this, that Shal Shudis is Panim Chadashos only if they're bringing more food out and only if there's a drasha. So, I don't know, our Shal Shudis, most Shal Shudis are not more food than you had during lunch. It's the chips and tuna fish and some salad. But if there's a drasha there, so the Aruch HaShulchan says you can rely on that, there's a drasha, that can serve as Panim Chadashos and you don't need to ensure that there's a new person that's there. Now, there just happens to be on this topic of Panim Chadashos, there's a very important Aruch HaShulchan that they all quote when learning the sugya of understanding the nature of Panim Chadashos. What's the function of Panim Chadashos? And there's a very important chakir that he raises. So he says, is the point of Panim Chadashos, backtrack, what's the point of Shevet Brachos? What is the point of Shevet Brachos? So he says, is the point of Shevet Brachos in order to give a bracha to the Chasan and Kala? And that everyone in the community has an obligation to give them bracha, that they should have a shalom bayis, they should have a tzlacha in their marriage. That's the understanding of the Rambam. That's all about giving brachas to the chasana and kala. And those who are saying the brachas are representing everyone who's there. So at the chasana, the people who get called up to say the brachas, they're saying it on behalf of everybody who's there. So he says, if you were there at the Shevet Brachos, at the Chuppah, you were there for the Rishas Brachos, you fulfilled your obligation to give them brachas. Even though you didn't stay for the meal, you've exempted yourself, and you cannot serve as Panim Chadashos. You showed up for the chuppah and you left. You are no longer able to serve as Panim Chadashos. It's all about giving brachos to the chasan and kala. But then he says the other approach, which is he thinks the more mainstream approach, is that the idea of Panim Chadashos is really about bringing simcha to the chasan and kala. So if I'm there at the chuppah, just watching what's going on, but I'm not dancing, I'm not eating with them, I have not fulfilled my mitzvah of being misamech with chasana and kala, and therefore if a person says Aruch HaShulchan was at the chasana, at the chuppah rather, but not at the isuda, he would still function as a panim chadashos. So again, is panim chadashos to give a bracha, or is panim chadashos to be misamech chasana and kala? Nafka mina being, at what point of the chasana do you have to be there to no longer be considered Panim Chadashos? Is if it's about the brachos, then Shas Chuppah is the important part. And if it's about Simcha, it's about being there for the Suda. All that being said, we do see, though, that according to at least the Ashkenazim, Shal Shudis in its own right does serve as Panim Chadashos, either because the drasher of people going to Shabbat who have not been there beforehand, in which case one would say Shevet Brachos during Shal Shudis. For the Sfaradim, I'm not sure, the Shulchan Aruch seem to have said the practice is you do not say Shevet Brachos unless there actually is a Panim Chadashos that's present. I don't know if that's the practice or not. So now bring it back to our situation. Does one drink at the Sheva Brachos during Shal Shudas. So we said in general, at a regular Shal Shudas, without Sheva Brachos, we said it before, that our custom is not to drink. The moment you bench, your meal's over, and we don't normally drink the wine. So what happens at a Shal Shudas with Sheva Brachos? So this was the question that Rav Shlomo Kluger had been asked. Does one drink the cup? Now, this had been a question that had been asked beforehand. I'm sure this happened many, many times, but this is the first, the earliest source that we have that's discussing this directly. And he has a very interesting concern. Rav Shlomo Kluger writes that if a person doesn't drink the benching cup, and now there's Sheva Brachos, and then they drink the Sheva Brachos cup, that's a zilzul for the benching cup. And therefore, he said that one should drink neither one. Neither one should be drunk because it's a disgrace to the benching cup and nothing. You say the brachos, what happens is the way it would work is you'd bench Rabbi Sai Nevarech holding the cup, kosher bracha, and at the end, when you finish it, you put it down, you take the Sheva Brachos cup and say the six of the seven brachos. Hagafen is the seventh bracha. We don't say Hagafen, we just say six brachos and we will leave it Hagafen and then seemingly leave it over for Avdallah, I guess. And that's the understanding of the Chachma Shlomo. That's how he would say, don't drink anything. But the Eish Avram Mibachach, he said differently. He felt that one should say all seven brachos, and one should drink. Because, number one, he writes, if you don't say Hagafen as part of Sheva brachos, so then you don't have Sheva brachos, you only have six brachos. And he says, I'll peace sowed, there's an Indian to have seven brachos that are being said. But if you don't say Agafen, you're only saying six. So he says you have to say the seventh bracha. Now once you're saying the seventh bracha, which is Agafen, if you don't drink it, that's going to be a bracha levatala. And therefore, he says, one should say the Agafen along with drinking it as well. That's his understanding.
Rabbi, is it a custom to bring the cup to everybody? Or is that in the Mishnah Berurah? I mean, is that halacha?
For which part?
So, you know, bring the cup to the person who says each bracha.
Oh, you know, a person should, because the idea of the saying on the wine is it's a kosher bracha. It adds more bracha and shefa to the bracha that the person's saying. So he should be holding it when he says each of the Sheva brachos. Yeah. So that's the understanding of the Eish Avram, that he should say the brachas and he should drink from the kos as well. So the question then becomes, who should be drinking the cup? Should it be the Mevarech or should it be the Chasen and Kal? Who's the one who should be drinking it? So on one hand, you would think the Mevarech, who says the Hagafen, the one benching or the one giving the Bracha, he should be drinking it because he says the Bracha of Hagafen. On the other hand, the Chasen and Kal have to be drinking because all the Bracha is for them. They're supposed to drink it because the Bracha, somehow by their drinking, gives the Bracha, puts the Bracha inside them. So maybe all three should be drinking, the Mevarech and the Chasen and Kal. So the Minchas Yitzchak says, first he asks as a side point. He says, I don't understand, we have a very simple solution here. Why don't we just say, let the Tinuk drink it? You have Shal Shudas, and you made Sheva Brachos, so now we have a question, should you drink it, should you not drink it, but you have to say the Agafen because you need the Seven Brachos, so why not just bring a kid who's on the Bar Mitzvah and give him a little grape juice to drink it, and then you've solved your problem. This is the same exact thing that happens on, let's say, this is an interesting case. He says, if a person gets married on a Tinus, I never heard of such a thing. You're allowed to get married in a tiny. So I guess there's nothing wrong with it. It certainly saves a lot of money not having to serve anyone food. It's a great etza. But I've never heard of such a thing. So what do? You have Sheva Brachos. You say the Bracha in Kedushin. You say the Bracha in Nesu'in. Who drinks it? The Chasan and Kal are busy fasting. So you give it to a little child that's there. Or another situation we have this. If there is a Bris Milah on a fast day, So the father, in the regular fast day, the Aviyah Ben is allowed to drink. He doesn't have to fast if the Aviyah Ben, if it's a Mila, if it's a Bris Mila on Shiva Sabra Tamas or a Sabra Teves, he doesn't fast. He could drink it. Sanda could drink it also. The Mo could drink it. But let's say Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, there's no heter for the Aviyah Ben or anyone to drink. So what do you do in that case? You give it to the Tinok, a child. You give it to the baby. The baby drinks the little grape juice and that's enough. So he says he's not sure why that's not suggested. Why don't you give it to a child? That would really solve all problems, but it's not. So we have the Chasen and Kala drink it. So he says that, firstly, that you don't have to drink, you shouldn't drink a whole cup. You don't have to have a gulp of the wine. It's enough to have a team of Amma, a little bit of a taste. But he brings down that he saw once that a certain Gadol wouldn't say the bracha of Hagafen. Rather, he'd give it to the chassan to say Hagafen. That was a practice, because he himself didn't want to drink it. Now, it's not so clear that that's necessary. We know in general, if I say a shahakol, if a bracha shahakol in water, I can't give it to you to drink. I must drink that. If I'm saying a bracha sanenen, I must do the drinking, I must do the eating. Hagafen is a different type of bracha. Hagafen is both a bracha sanenen and a bracha mitzvah. If I'm taking a drink of grape juice right now, nothing to do with kiddush or any mitzvah, if I say hagafen, I must drink it. But let's say I'm saying hagafen in the context of a mitzvah, havdalah, let's say. Hagafen is part of havdalah. I actually don't have to drink it. I could give it to someone else, because the hagafen in havdalah is serving as a birchas of mitzvah, becomes part of the nature of the mitzvah. We want to do mitzvahs al ha-kos, if possible. So hagafen is the same nusach we use when drinking grape juice and when using grape juice as a kosher bracha. So I could say this, and in fact there's a Rashi in Eirvin that says, when using hagafen as a kosher bracha as part of a mitzvah, the only reason why a person drinks it is just because it's covered. It's covered for the bracha. To leave the grape juice or the wine untouched after saying a bracha would be inappropriate, would not be nice to the cup, if you will. So the Rashi says anybody could drink it. I could say the bracha of a gafen for Abdallah and give it to my kids to drink. I could say a gafen for a kish is not a good example. A gafen for under the chuppah, great example. What happens under the chuppah? So the Masada Kedushin says a bracha on Kedushin, and who drinks it? The chassan and kala. I said hagafen. You don't have to drink it. When hagafen's in the context of a mitzvah, then the mevarach doesn't have to drink it. Now, there are those...
still relying on the motzi, that person.
Correct. The Masada Kedushin is... So the Masada Kedushin actually has to tell the chassan and kala that I'm being motzi the bracha of hagafen, because they're about to drink. They have to have a bracha. But that's the only type of brichas hanenin that kind of carries through. Hamotzi works also. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah talks about Arvus. I don't want to get involved in that so much, but you're right. That's the only...
Do you think it was a Shabbos Suda or even a weekday Suda for Hamotzi?
No, not a weekday Suda. It has to be...
it's a mitzvah.
Exactly. It becomes that when the Motzi and the Hagafen become Birchas Mitzvah. Now, that's not true, really. When it comes to the regular Shabbos meal, the Gemara says only when it comes to...
So why don't we say Baruch
No, so the Gemara says it's only shaykh for first night of Sukkot and first night of Pesach, where there's a real mitzvah. I have to look back at the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, I don't remember exactly.
Why is there no berachas mitzvah? There's explicit berachas
mitzvah. Yeah. Like we have by matzah.
Al achilas matzah.
Right.
Say
al achilas. Right. So it doesn't work. We don't have that either by kiddush either. We don't have al mitzvah kiddush. We don't say such a thing. Not sure. So either way, so there are those who are machmir under the chuppah. When they say the bracha, they'll intentionally spill wine on their fingers and like lick it afterwards. No one will know this, but this way they're choshesh for that. If they're saying a bracha of a gafen, they should drink something, even though really they don't have to. Giving tichas and kal is enough. There are those who are machmir on that din. I think Rav Soloveitchik may have been machmir on this and some of his talmidim, but that's an inyan. So because of this, the Minchas Yitzchak brings an idea that he, at the Shavar Brachos, this certain gadol preferred that the chassan say the gafen and the chassan end up drinking it, because he didn't want to say the bracha and rely on the chassan. He'd rather the chassan make the hagafen. But that's a chumrah. Really, mikra din, it's okay for the mevarach to say the bracha and have the chassan and kala drink it. And that's where Moshe writes. Moshe writes that it's apparently well known where his shita is, that he felt that the chassan and kala should be drinking at Shavar Brachos of Shal Shudis, but the mevarach should not be. That's what he passes in the end of the day. So again, I don't remember the last time I was at a Shavar Brachos in Shal Shudis, but I think this is the practice, in at least in America, that when there is Shavar Brachos at the Shal Shudis, the bencher, the mevarach, says the bracha agafen, but you give it to the chassan and kala to drink from it. Okay, so we'll stop here. Yeah.
Are you making